Well, what a year it's been so far. It's been an interesting, hasn't it? Everything really has changed.
Yep.
Been lots of change in the last year. I was due to be, before we went into lockdown, we had lovely plans, me and my wife, to go away with my brother and his wife, and we were going to go and have a trip out to Prague. We were having three or four days in Prague. That was going to be a holiday for us last year. Never got to happen, of course, as I'm sure many other people had to cancel plans.
Yeah.
So that wasn't so good. And it's been, I've really missed kind of being able to mix with people and have people round and stuff like that. I mean, there was something good happened for me during lockdown. So so there was a change in that regard as well. I moved house during lockdown, so that was good.
Yeah,
it wasn't the easiest way to move house during a lockdown, but we moved house as well.
You managed it. Well
so and one of the blessings of that is the house we've got now has got a nice garden, which is nice, so we'll be able to enjoy that. Because last summer, when everyone was out in the gardens, we didn't have the same kind of... nice garden sitting, so it's nice. So that's a blessing for us this year.
Brilliant.
What about you, Aaron?
So I think for us, so for me and my family, I think lockdown was really hard. Just having to learn to do education at home. That was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Having to kind of partnering with the school and taking that on. We also have missed having people over. Really enjoyed having people around and having to stop that for. This period of time has been difficult, but we did have the blessing of having a new baby during lockdown.
You did.
Which is good.
You did.
So big news this morning, he ate 8 Cheerios.
Woo!
What a legend. Yep, absolutely. I genuinely got a clap then. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, Theo. You've got it.
That's good. And things have changed for church as well, because, of course, well, they've changed for all churches, but... I was particularly disappointed when we went into lockdown when we did, because I had really great plans for the spring term. I mean, one of the things we were hoping to do was we'd made preparation and plan for a ministry fair.
Yep.
And the idea of that was getting everyone involved in the church and seeing everything that's going on and seeing how our different gifts and abilities could fit into helping be part of that bigger picture of church. So we could all play our part and understand that all the different bits that go on in church life, and looking for new ideas as well that we could be created with. So we had all that kind of in mind to launch in the spring. Didn't happen, of course.
Yep.
And then as well, we had some good outreach events we were hoping to do. And the biggest disappointment of all was we had a big church weekend where there would have been over 200 of us on a church weekend away together in June, July last year. And we had to cancel it at the time. Well, postpone it. It was postponed for 2 years. Thinking that it wouldn't be able to happen this year, which was a good call.
That was a good call, yeah. No, we weren't sure, were we? That was a good call. Yeah.
So we've got that to look forward to. Disappointments at the beginning, but we're going to look forward to come.
Yep. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, there's been a number of things that have changed for us as a church family, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously services. This is very different from how it was looking 2 years ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly so the groups that met during the week and all the fellowship that was happening. There's a lot of people coming in and out of church. It was a really busy church during the day.
Yeah.
And now it's a testing centre, which is great for COVID, but we need to... we're looking forward to having those groups start up. We've had changes in our leadership team as well.
We have.
Haven't we? Which has been a change. We've loved getting to know the new people who have stepped up into leadership. That's been fantastic to get to know them, isn't it?
But it has. And so what we're wanting to do now, really, I mean, the whole of this has been an unexpected journey. None of us expected to be on this journey. As individuals, as a church, you know, we didn't. And it's had its ups and downs during the year, which I'm sure many of you can relate to as well. You'll have your highlights. If you were sat here, you could share with us things that have, you know, you've really been disappointed with and missed and so on. And things that have gone bad because of that. Some people's personal circumstances have been really tough, haven't they, during this last year? And there's other things that have been really good that people have really enjoyed, and it's been a positive thing. Maybe spending more time together with family if you are in a family unit at home.
Yep.
So that can be good. It can also drive you mad if you're all together intensely. So there's pros and cons and ups and downs. But as we begin to come out now, and we hope we are on our way out, and you know, whether we have to go in and out a little bit temporarily, but we're hopefully coming out the other side of the main bit of this now. We want to do so. It's still unexpected. It's still going to be an unexpected journey, but we want to try and make it an incredible journey because there's lots of opportunities that this opens up for us. And what we're trying to do as a leadership at the moment, what I'm trying to do as a minister and Aaron as a youth and children's worker, us together, and we want to do this together with you, is we want to look at how we can move forward now as church in a really positive way to make this an incredible journey. We've got fresh opportunities as we come out of this to not do everything exactly the same, to bring in some new things, to get back to some things we really enjoy from before, but to look at some new ways of doing things. And there's an excitement with that and an opportunity with that that we want to kind of seize the day, so to speak, and look at it in a positive way.
Absolutely. And I think it's as people look at change, sometimes it can bring, you know, yes, great opportunity. Some people might look at that and kind of go, what are we going to do? Yeah. But we can take encouragement for the fact that our God's does not change.
Absolutely.
Right? What an amazing thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing that definitely hasn't changed. Our God, his love, his care for us, his excitement for what we can do as individuals and for him and corporately together. And one thing I've said just consistently really over the past couple of years is I think we can summarize what the Christian life is about. What is Christian life about, and what churches need to be about, and Christians need to be about, can be probably summarized best by Jesus himself. And what he said was, he said, the things that we need to do are this. Number one, above all else, love God. The greatest commandment. And what was the second greatest commandment? Number two, love other people. The greatest commandments are love God and love other people. And the third thing, then we move to the Great Commission, which is where Jesus said, and go and make disciples. So if you keep these three things in mind, love God, love others, make disciples, it pretty much sums up what the whole Christian life is about. Everything can fit into one of those three things about what we're about, really. If you think about it, that summarizes it. And I think we need to keep that at the heart of who we are as individuals and as a church as well. Our mission, our goal is to love God, is to love other people, and is to tell others about him and make disciples in word and deed.
So our relationship is with God. So we're looking up to God and seeing him. It's in towards ourselves as a church family, as a church community, as we grow, hopefully together as we step out of COVID, as more and more people come in, we look in towards to our church family and we look out to the world.
And lockdown has meant we've missed many aspects of relationship and we know that, but we now need to build again from that. And so our priority going forward now, we need to start with this one, okay? The love God. It's our relationship with God. When we're talking about relationship, it has to start with our relationship with God. Right from the beginning, we talked a bit about this last week with the mystery of relationships. And if you missed that, I'd suggest just go back and watch that on YouTube if you didn't see that last week, because that is a foundational session really for us moving forward now over the next 6 weeks as we look at this series of relationship. And so we remembering God always has sought to be in relationship with people. In the first place, I mean, God is in relationship with himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's sought to be in relationship with one man, Adam, and then Eve, with individuals. He sought to be in relationship with a family, in the family of Noah. Remember that story? That was about being in relationship with a particular family. Then it expanded again and was him being in relationship with the nation of Israel in particular. He was in relationship with a nation. And then he's in relationship as well, remember, in the New Testament with individual churches. And we see that in Revelation and we see that in other places in Acts, his relationship with individual churches. And ultimately, of course, it was expressed through Jesus and his relationship, the relationship he wants with the whole world. So we see it starting with individual relationship, and God wants to be in relationship with us individually, but he's also interested in his relationship with us as families, as a church, as a nation in the world. But what kind of relationship does God want with us? Is it just friendship? What do you think, Aaron?
No, I don't think it's just friendship. I think it is a love relationship, right? I think when we say love in our culture, what we tend to think of kind of emotional, kind of going out love and husband and wife love and all that sort of stuff. But it's not that. It's something that's so much deeper than that, isn't it? It's not kind of airy fairy love. It's just a kind of feeling. It's like a deeply passionate, committed, ongoing, and hopefully eternal love. So John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So yep. his love was giving an opportunity to be with him forever. Okay. And a love that lasts forever, I've got to say, it's an incredible love.
Yeah.
So we love God, but so Phil, can you remember? And I'm sure you can.
Go on.
In the Bible, where it tells us how to love God.
Okay.
Reference and verse, please.
Okay. It says in Deuteronomy. It says in Mark. It says in Matthew. Let's start with Mark. In Mark, it says, "Love." No, start with Deuteronomy.
Go on. Yeah.
In Deuteronomy, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength."
Okay.
It says in Matthew, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And it says in Mark, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength."
Well done.
Does it mean...
Let me check my notes. Yes, you're right. Well done.
Does it mean... So what does that mean? How do you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength?
See, I've taken those verses as it's just the whole of you. So just with everything that you are, you love God with that. So there's nothing kind of outside of our heart, soul, mind and strength.
So why does it distinguish between the different ones? What does it mean to love? Is it different loving God with your soul than your heart? Is it different loving him with your mind and your strength? Why distinguish? What do you guys think? What do you think on Zoom? What do you think on YouTube? Why spell them out differently? Is it just a general thing anyway, or is there something in it that is different with each one? I don't know the answer, but I tell you what, I think there's elements of it that come out in different ways. I think you're right, Aaron. I think it is. We just love him with everything, okay? With everything. But it's a message to us that this needs to come from the heart.
Yeah.
It comes from the heart that with feeling. It comes from the soul with every part of our being. It's who we are. We just are in love with him. We love him with everything we are. We're going to work at that. We're going to use our strength to work at that. Not just physical strength, but it can be hard work at times. Who knows? It's hard work to keep loving someone at times. Yeah, me. Anyone who's married knows that it can be difficult to do that as well. You know, it's hard to keep loving people at times, but we work at it because we're going to work through it, even when those times get tough, you know, even when we're not sure what's happening. And with our minds, we're going to deliberately do this. And I think it's good to reflect on that, what that means, and needing to work at that. And before we finish this part, and don't worry, this is part of the sermon. We haven't got another big sermon to come. We're splitting it in two today. This is part of our message today. Because as we begin this series on relationship and loving God, what we want to do is we want to concentrate the first 2 weeks, this week and next week, on loving God and what that means. And then we want to move to our relationship with other people. And what does loving one another mean? And we're going to spend 2 weeks on that. And then we got a little bit of a break where we're going to join our Baptist church family in joining the National Baptist Assembly. And we're all going to come together for that on an online service with other churches around the country. We'll tell you more about that in due course. And then we've got 2 more weeks after that where we're going to look at loving other people outside of the church and what that means in making disciples. And we're going to bring in different people into this, like me and Aaron today. Chris is going to be involved a bit next week. We're going to have Jörg. We're going to have some of our leadership team who are responsible for different of these areas on our leadership team joining in with us in the discussion as well. But before we move on from this part today, just want to just think a little bit more about what that means to love God. What does it mean to truly love God in this way? And here's some different things that I think it means. And you can add your own to this list, okay? You can have a think about this. How can we love God and express our love to God? And here's some things it means. First of all, to love God, you've got to believe in God. You can't love someone if you don't believe in him, can you? So that's a starting point. You've got to have faith in him. Secondly, we need to get to know him. You need to get to know someone if you're going to love them. And that's an obvious one, I know, but one of the ways we can do that is through the Bible. And if you've stopped reading the Bible, can I encourage you to get back to it again? Read about him again. Understand his story. The Bible is his story, history of God and his relationship with mankind, with this world, from the beginning to the end. It foretells in the future as well. And then thirdly, spend time with him. Again, this is building relationship, but prayer is an obvious one, isn't it? Spending time with prayer. And it's, you know, it's always interesting because I think although Christians profess that they love God and we all know we should pray, a lot of the time that's the thing that goes, our prayer life. And it's important we work at it with all of our strength as well to make that time and spend time with him. Now, I know we can do arrow prayers throughout the day and we can just be thinking about God throughout the day. But actually, the discipline of taking time away to just spend some time with God privately in prayer is an important one that Jesus himself set many times for us. So a reminder, if we're going to truly love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength and our soul, it may mean that that's something we need to work on as well. And then number four, confessing our sins. Now, why have I thrown that in here? Because things get in the way of that love relationship. Barriers get in the way. When we do wrong, we begin to feel bad about something we may have done, or if we're in a wrong relationship with someone else or something like that, we begin to feel bad about that, and then we don't want to talk to God as much because there's something there in the way. We're aware of it. We're conscious of it. It doesn't make us want to kind of come to God and expose ourselves to him fully because there's something in the way that we know is not right. So get rid of that sin. Confess it. He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sin if we're honest, and that helps the relationship. You know, if you've fallen out with somebody, if you want to be back in good relationship with them again and truly be have a love relationship, you've got to say sorry to one another and you've got to forgive one another. And then five, worship only him. You know, before it says love the Lord God with all your heart, it says there is only one God. Remember, there's only one God. He deserves all our worship and all our devotion. That means we don't worship our money. We don't worship other things and put them before him, whether it's other relationships or anything else. He has to be number one in our life above all else. That's what it means to truly love God with all our heart. To obey his teaching, number six, to be his disciple, to follow what he says. Jesus himself said this, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. You'll do what I've asked you to do. We need to remember that. That's part of our expression of love for God. Number seven, loving other people. And as I said, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But loving other people is part of how we show our love for God as well, by responding in that way. By being church family together, we do that. Number eight, bearing good fruit in ministry. We show him that by sharing that good thing with others in deeds, in things that we might do to others, in ministering to others. And nine, in making disciples. We share it by helping others to come to know him too, by sharing that news and witnessing. And then finally, number 10, is staying close and growing close to him. And a little example for you here. In a previous church office that I worked in, there was a skylight above, and the sunlight used to come in the office each day. And I'm going to sit back down again here now. the sunlight used to come in the office each day, and as the sunlight shone through the office window, it used to bleach some of the books behind me on the shelf. They went lighter and lighter as the sun was coming in. You know what that's like, yeah? And I thought about how the sun makes things lighter and brighter and so on. And I used to enjoy the sunlight shining on me. It was nice and warm and so on. And if the sun moved around, then I'd go into the shade more. But I could always adjust my chair to get back into the sun again, yeah? And move around to it, you know? And I thought, that's what it's like. The sun, not the sunshine, but the Son of God is shining down on us. He's in right relationship with us. He loves us. And sometimes he's doing things and he's going on, and sometimes we just need to make sure that we keep aligned with him and stay in the light of him. Because that's when we're brightest. If we don't move with him and what he's doing as well, we'll end up in the shade, we'll end up in the dark. Sometimes we feel like he's not there anymore because it's gone dark. The sun is always there. He's always there. It's just that we're not in the light of that at the time. And a love relationship with Jesus is about moving with what he's doing and staying close to him and working and growing in that relationship. So I know I've just given you 10 things, and it can begin to sound like the 10 commandments. It can begin to sound like you must do this, you must do that, and it becomes legalistic. But this is not about legalistic religion, as I'm sure you know. What this is about is a loving relationship. And that's what we want to get over in these weeks ahead. And in a minute, we're going to share communion together. We'll just remind you of that. It's not the usual communion we can do where we pass it around and so on. But we're going to take some communion. We're going to sing first. And we're going to remember Jesus' love for us. And we do this in remembrance of him, in love for him and what he's done for us. Thank you, Chris.
As we're thinking through this question of loving God, as we're thinking through this question of having joy in our relationship with God, let me ask you this question. Do you enjoy your relationship with God? If someone came and asked you that question, I wonder what you would say. Just take a moment to think about it. Do you enjoy your relationship with God? I was sat around in a youth meeting once with a group of, it was quite intimidating, mainly teenage girls, and some believers, some weren't there, some were friends that they'd bought, and I got the opportunity to share the gospel, right? This someone turned to me and said, Aaron, what do you believe about this? And I was like, right, I'm the youth leader, this is my big moment, here we go, I'm going to share the gospel, here we go. I didn't do that in person, by the way, that's all happened in my head, I didn't stand up and stretch. So what I did was I kind of panicked slightly, then I prayed in my head, and then I said something along the lines of this. God is a good God, but we've all walked away from him. Jesus turned up claiming to be God and saying he was going to die instead of us because of the wrong things that we've done. History says that he did that, which is an amazing thing. And he came back to life afterwards. And Jesus offers us new life with him and the security of knowing that when I die, I get to be with him forever. Honestly, I don't think I smiled through that entire thing, right? And one of the leaders who I love dearly and I'm still friends with, even after this incident, said openly to this group, quite intimidating teenage girls, and said, Aaron, you just made that sound really boring. Just openly like that. I was annoyed because he was correct, right? I'd just told the gospel in the most boring way. No emotion. It's like someone coming to me and saying, Aaron, do you enjoy your marriage? And me responding with, well, yes, we were engaged and married in 2012, and now we're a family of five, and CBC is our church family, and now we're here. And they're like, yeah, Well, yes, but do you enjoy your marriage? You don't stop telling me facts and start telling me what a difference it makes. Do you see the difference? So here's what I should have said. Here's what I should have said. I should have said, Jesus means everything to me. My friendship with Jesus is the most precious thing that I have. He is my first thought in the morning and my last thought before I go to bed at night. He has given me everything that I own. He gives me life. He is an awesome savior. He is my perfect king. He is a constant source of strength for me in times of difficulty. He is the reason why I am stood here today. And honestly, I'm struggling to wait until I'm going to be with him forever. That's what I should have said. See, our relationship with God is not just factual, is it? The gospel isn't just facts. The Bible doesn't say that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal intellectual satisfaction. That's not what it says. It says life. It's eternal life. It's desire and discovery and enjoyment and adventure and relationships and anticipation. All the things that make you smile, that's what we're saved to. Do you ever feel like your relationship is one-sided? Ever get that? I pray, but nothing happens. I worship, but I don't feel anything. I struggle to read the Bible. It's not my first thought in the morning, and it's definitely not my last thought at nighttime. Do you ever get that? If that's you, and I'm sure that you would join me in saying that that is, please could you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It'd be great if you could grab a Bible just to read this, because these are God's words to us. Just Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. What I want to do this morning is not look back at the disappointment that we might have felt, even this morning, but I want to turn our eyes to looking forward to what God could do. Let's spend some time doing that this morning. This is what Paul does as he writes to the Ephesian church as they are going through a really hard time. And this is what he says. As we read this, just see if you can spot Central Baptist Church, because we do get a mention. It says, verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." I just pause and chew on that sentence for a moment. Our infinitely rich and powerful God can strengthen us through his power, so Christ can be our first thought in the morning and our last thought at night. He continues, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people." There we are. There's Central Baptist Church. That's us. "To grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God." Don't you want this? I do. What this prayer is asking for is that we would go deeper in our understanding of quite how much God loves us. And also that he would strengthen us with power as a community to be a place where God lives. See, our church friends are special, aren't they? Our church friends are special because what unites us is not the mutual benefit of making each other feel good, but what unites us is a growing understanding of quite how high, long, wide, and deep is the love of Christ for us. Central Baptist Church is not the building. Central Baptist Church is not the Sunday service. It is the relationships of love that there are in the church family members that are on this unexpected journey of faith together. That is the church. That is the family. That is our God. If you are sat here thinking that you want this, but are just not sure where to start, can I encourage you to ask God to do this for you? That's what Paul was praying, wasn't it? He's saying, I'm asking my God to do this for you. And he's saying, well, as part of God's people, I need this for me. And so we, as Central Baptist Church, we need this for us, don't we? But remember, this isn't a passive behind-the-scenes God who just saved you from sin once. This is a deeply passionate and loving Father who wants his best for you. Verse 20, just look down with me here, says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, get this, or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Can I ask you to do something just before you go to bed tonight? And I'm going to try to do this as well. Please go and put a Bible by your bed to remind you to do this. Could you read this passage again before you go to bed? So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. And pray it for our church family, for your church family. If our whole church family prayed this, right, in sincerity to God and in love for each other, and we prayed this prayer, what could God do? Why don't we pray that for each other now? Father God, thank you that you are a God where everyone has come from you. We want to pray for each other, Father, that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray, Lord, that our church would grow, being rooted and established in love, that we may have power together with all of the Lord's people, that we may grow in our understanding of how much you love us and how much we can love you. Father, thank you that you've shown us that love in Christ. Father, I pray that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.